The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Next on Life Today, there's a chasm between Hollywood and people of faith. Larry Poland and Victoria Rogers are dedicated to reaching across that breach.
And I think probably the single biggest barrier is we've been so angry at the product that we've transferred that to the people.
Learning how to develop relationships with people on the other side of the great divide.
Every life is relevant. Everybody has a story. And I want them to be able to tell their story because God has done something special with every one of our lives.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for joining us on Life Today. I'm Betty and this is James.
And we've got two very interesting guests today. And I want you to just catch this. Victoria Rogers has written a book, How to Talk About Jesus Without Freaking Out. Now, I really want to know, and I'm going to ask her, do you mean the people you're talking to freaking out? Are you looking like you're freaking out? Or do you do it in such a way that it looks like you're freaking out? It does seem that we Christians, or at least we who say we are, oftentimes don't seem to know how to connect with people we want to talk about. That's really too bad. We're going to talk to him. Well, we've got another interesting guest. Larry Poland is here. He wrote a book, Chasm, and there is a chasm. And he's talking about crossing the divide between Hollywood, the entertainment community, and people of faith. Because it seems like there's a great divide there. So how do you witness to them? People in that business? Have Christians just left it up to people who are not people of faith to be in that business? Do we not know how to communicate with people who are gifted and talented in that way? Well, let's find out what we can do. Would you welcome Larry and Victoria to Life Today? Glad to have you.
Thank you.
I got to ask you about this. Where'd you come up with that freaking out? Now, are you talking about the people who are listening or about the people who are doing it?
Well, it can certainly be for both, but we're really referring to the Christians that are so afraid of sharing their faith. They're so afraid that someone doesn't want to hear it, or they're going to lose friends, or they're going to lose their job. And there's so much fear that we want to tell you can share your faith. You can help change people's lives by being real about what's going on in your life and sharing your faith, and you don't have to freak yourself or anybody else out.
So how do you talk about Jesus without freaking out? Now, I know you wrote a whole book about it, but give somebody a tip.
Well, in a very nutshell of what we talk about, it's a three-story approach. First, you want to hear their story, because no one cares how much you know until they know how much you care. So you hear their story first, and then you find what's relevant in your life about what's happened to them, because there's always a common ground at some point if you really listen. And then you share your story. And we teach you, Karen Coville and Jim Coville, my co-authors on this, we teach you how to share your story in 3 minutes or less. And you can share relevant of what God's done in your life in a short period of time. And then if they want to hear more, they'll ask. And then the third is, of course, sharing God's story and what He's done for you, the plan of salvation.
Your own personal testimony. You don't have to give them a big Bible lecture or anything. Just tell them what God did for me. A person with an experience is never at the mercy of someone with an argument. You know, if you've been to the moon, you can tell them what it was like to be there because you've been there. You don't have to just talk about something you don't know. The New Testament Christians couldn't help but speak what they'd seen and heard.
Yeah.
They had seen, they had heard, they had experienced something, they talked about it. All right, let's talk about Hollywood a minute. I do have friends in Hollywood who've been here on the show, Robert Duvall being one of them. Robert Duvall came to us, and here's what he said to me when he came to our home. He actually communicated a few times, but he said, I want to come see you, because he said, I'm an actor, and I know actors. And he said, there's some preachers that are actors. But he said, you're not an actor. I want to come to your house.
That was a compliment.
Yes, it was. It really was. I want to come to your house. I want to see your family. Because I believe it's real. And he did. He came and ate with all three of our children. And it was just really great. And then he used one of my illustrations in one of his movies. And we've been friends. He's been here several times. He said to me that the Hollywood entertainment community is very difficult to reach. He said, I wish I could lock them up and you could talk to them. Meaning that it may be difficult to keep them. You talk about how you have seen Christians in the way they approach the entertainment industry. People who may be executives who are actually over what's happening a lot of times, as well
as the power brokers, the gatekeepers.
Yeah, and they actually come across in such a way that they repulse the person that might need their message and their love. What are they doing wrong?
Well, I finished a 10-minute cold call with a guy who headed one of the biggest media companies in the world. And at the end of it, he said, "You're not angry, are you?" And I said, "No, I'm not angry." And he said, "Well, you know, everybody's angry. It comes in here anymore. The men are angry. The women are angry. The ethnics are angry. The gays are angry. The Christians are angry." In fact, he says, "Angry Christian for us is a redundancy. It's the only kind we know." And I think probably the single biggest barrier is we've been so angry at the product that we've transferred that to the people. Mm-hmm. Now, we should be angry at the product. We're supposed to love what's righteous and hate what's evil. But you can't hate the people, because every one of us, if we hadn't had the redemptive power of Christ in our life and we were in those shoes, we'd be doing the same stuff. I'd probably be doing worse. And so when they understand that someone accepts them as is, where is, and isn't out to get them, because they all have a target on their back. We have people who said, "You've come here." I had a billionaire, a Jewish billionaire, 93 years of age, about 3 weeks ago, tell me, "You've been coming to me for 20 years, and you've never asked me for anything." And he says, "And I give millions away." I said, "I know you do." So I think that unconditional love and acceptance and the authenticity, which she indicated, is so critical, and you did too, in terms of we can spot an actor and they know when you're acting. But when they see the real thing and it's authentic and you're not uncomfortable about talking about your faith, one of your good friends, Adrian Rogers, said, you know, most Christians are like Arctic rivers frozen at the mouth. And once you break that sound barrier and start talking about your faith comfortably, it becomes more easy to do so. And when you're not uptight about it, usually they're not either, even though they're Jewish or gay, and those are the two dominant communities in the entertainment industry.
And it's not our responsibility to convince them anyway.
Oh, I've never, right.
It's
never
to
done
testify
that.
What
Absolutely.
God has done in our lives. And if we do that and if we live it, then it's going to be demonstrated.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And it's up to the Holy Spirit to do the work after that. Absolutely.
Now, how did you, Betty, find the comfort zone where you could talk to people about the Lord? I mean, did you find it would turn you off if you felt like you were on some kind of an assignment to go collect a trophy or, you know, get a scalp for Jesus or something, and you suddenly realize there's a different approach?
There is. And of course, that difference is as my relationship with God grew, I began to see that there wasn't any front I had to put on. There wasn't any pretense that I had to present to them, but just be who God created me to be and what He was doing in my life. And the realness of it, like you said, the authenticity, y'all think.
You pointed something out about telling your story in a brief time. Now, I've got a You know, we've been married 50 years. I got 50 years of ministry. I'm nearly be 70 years old this year. So a long story. You got a few hours, I'll tell it to you. I can actually tell them my story in just a matter of minutes. Of the product of rape. My mother was raped by an alcoholic man in the home where she was caring for the elderly father. She put an ad in the paper and asked someone to come get me. I grew up as a child without parents. The couple tried to adopt me, couldn't. My mother took me away. I lived in poverty for 10 years. Didn't even have a home that faced the street. I grew up fatherless. One day, somebody witnessed to me. I met the Father. I put my hand in a pastor's hand, my life in the master's hand. He changed my life forever. We have beautiful marriage, 3 children, 11 grandchildren, love God. It's a miracle of God's grace. Now, they didn't take long, did it?
It did.
About 2 minutes.
It arouses curiosity.
It does.
Is that what you're talking about?
That is exactly what I'm talking about. And they're going to have relevance, because then they're going to want to know more about it and see all that's been done. And it's worth the effort to be able to look at your life, because every life is relevant. Everybody has a story. And I want them to be able to tell their story, because God has done something special with every one of our lives.
Absolutely.
And no life is boring.
Now, you were a talent agent, right, in Hollywood?
I was for
any
over a decade.
Any talent out there? Did you find any?
Do you know what? There's amazing talent. And there's also some great Christians out in Hollywood. So I want you to pray for the Christians in Hollywood. The Hollywood Prayer Network is a wonderful ministry out there that helps Christians connect with the... If you're not talented to be an actor, don't worry about it. Why don't you choose somebody to pray with in Hollywood? Prayer never goes void. We talked about that at dinner. You want to change the world, then pray for somebody specific in Hollywood. And you can get hooked up through the Hollywood Prayer Network. But we also need Christians Christians out there that are gifted and talented, that are excellent at what they do. We want you to not be afraid, churches, to send out your talented youth that are gifted and talented to break into secular entertainment, because there's some great Christian ministries out there that we can connect you with out there that can help you stay a strong Christian in Hollywood without falling away and still make a difference.
That's the fear a lot of people have. It's really puzzling to me. If we were really filled with the spirit of love and the boldness that the New Testament church was characterized by, and the love that compelled them, then we could go fearlessly into any arena and know that God's grace and love would hold us up in the witness. We've actually, it seemed like, been afraid to let talent go into the world, like the world's going to capture it.
Very much
and
so.
It's sad that we've got so many people in churches that seem to be captured by the world rather than by God, if they even really know God. I really think that's one of the biggest problems we have, is that there are a lot of people associated with church or some religious group that really don't, and don't think this is being critical, this is just simply the truth, who do not have a genuine, legitimate, meaningful relationship with Christ. They've never had a real change of life. When you've had that, then you're able to go in and pierce the darkness with love and light. And now, Larry, you're out there talking to these executives and seeing how they use and manipulate people. And you found out that love never fails, but it doesn't usually work on your time frame. You have to just keep loving them. And I think every Christian needs to learn that. We can't go out and always close the deal. It's God's work that brings that to pass.
Well, I say one of the things I don't like about God is he's not an American. He didn't want anything instant, you know, right now, on my terms, like most of us Americans do. And being kind of, an archetypical American, going into Hollywood in 1979, which is, you know, it's early 80, 33 years is a long time. And I never would have thought that I would have hung into anything this long, and people now are lauding me for my perseverance, and I'm going, you're not talking about me. But I get a lot of sympathy because they say, well, it must be such a hard ministry, you know. All those, you know, whatever, Jewish people, gay people, secular people, you know, counterculture people. And I go, hard? I'm not sure that should be in the vocabulary of any believer. I just calculated that between Bill Gates and me, we're worth $60 billion. And I just figured between God and me, is there anything the two of us can't handle?
Yeah.
And if you have that attitude and that approach to people, and they see that you're not intimidated, you're not fearful, because we've not been given a spirit of fear, but of love and boldness and good sense, a sound mind.
Yeah.
And if you go in with love and you're not afraid of anybody or anything because the power of the Spirit of Christ is in you, then all of a sudden it exudes this kind of impact on people. And my associates and I have walked out of the offices as some of the most powerful people in global media. I was with the head of the number two largest media company in the world 3 weeks ago, 30,000 employees, 30 minutes talking about Christ, praying together at the end. He doesn't know the Lord, but that fear factor is gone when you realize that you've already died and there's nothing they can say about you, too good that it flatters you or too bad that it can offend you, because you're not in your own flesh, your own approach.
And you're making progress, because if you weren't, he wouldn't have spent that time with you, and you wouldn't have been praying with him. You have a media leader prayer calendar that he sends out, and he has the names of people to pray for who are leaders. If somebody said, okay, I believe in the power of prayer, and I want to pray for you as you minister and pray for leaders, I want to pray for them too. I have said to you many times, quit condemning Hollywood, quit criticizing Hollywood, and start praying for them. Quit criticizing people in the entertainment industry. You might as well quit criticizing sinners who sin. They're
That's
doing
right.
what their
That's
nature
their job
says
description.
Do. I'm trying to get Christians do what God's nature in us tells us to do. Love them, pray for them, care about them. We don't have to go that route, but they're trapped there. I mean, they're blinded by unbelief. That's it. Why do we need to live blind? Let's don't. Let's live with our eyes wide open. Let's love people. I think praying for these media leaders as well as entertainers, like I've asked you, pray for the visible ones, pray for the ones that disturb you. We have seen some miracles happen right here. We had a porn star saved who came on to tell why she got in it, and she was taking care of her child. And lo and behold, after we got through talking, she accepted Christ. She's out of the business. But we didn't bring her to condemn her. We said, how did you get here? We care, and we saw her change. If somebody wanted this, What's the website if they said, okay, look, Larry, we'd kind of like to connect with you and we'll kind of be praying for you and with you. Where would they go?
Well, it's Master Media International, and the INTL is part of the web name, mastermediaintl.org. And you put your finger on it right there, because when my associate in 24 years ago said, Larry, we're never going to see any traction here if we don't mobilize extraordinary prayer. And I said, well, given, but what do you have in mind? He says, why don't we make a calendar with the names of a power broker every day of the year so they know who they're praying for? And I said, that's genius. I'm going to start asking the Lord for 100,000 people that would pray every day for these people by name. Well, about 10 years later, we said, you know, people said, we don't recognize any names. We recognize Rupert Murdoch. We recognize Michael Eisner, head of Disney. And so we said, well, let's put influencers on there. So now there's an influencer and a power broker every day. But now you don't even have to carry this with you. You go on our website and go for Media Minute, and we'll drop those two names every morning into your email box.
What is that? Where do they find that?
What's MasterMediaIntl.org.
There it is. And you know, one of the greatest the pieces of advice that Bill Bright gave, a very, very successful businessman that I consider to be full of the love of God. His name's Mike Ingram. He lives out in Arizona. And he really loves God and loves people. Bill Bright, and this is what Mike told me as we were just having lunch together. He said, Bill Bright looked at me and he said, Mike, let me tell you something. Spend your life influencing the influencers. He said, Mike, I didn't say influence the affluent. I said, influence the influencers. That'd be a teacher. That'd be a coach. That'd be an executive. That'd be anybody that has influence. Influence them. And that's precisely what you're doing.
Now, well, and it was Bill Bright that gave me that idea. I was in his office one day, and a beleaguered NBC vice president called with a PR problem, and he wanted Bill to attend this screening. I attended the screening, and at the end of it, and the movie was fine, by the way, this young evangelical pastor in front of me beat up on that VP so badly, I wanted to crawl through the floor. Mm-hmm. So the room exited. There were 25, you know, usual priest, minister, rabbi kind of assortment. And after he left, the exec and I were there, and I said, sir, I introduced myself and told him I was going to recommend that Dr. Bright and the Campus Crusade Ministry support his cause, because it was righteous. And I said, but sir, I owe you an apology. And he says, why? And I said, you know, I couldn't help overhearing what this man said to you and the way he said it. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. He's the most important person in my life and has been since I was a kid. But I believe with all my heart, sir, that if Jesus Christ had been in front of me in line, he would not have approached you as this man did. And on behalf of this man and all the others that have been beating you up with hate mail and angry calls, please forgive us and don't hold it against our Lord. I wish I had a video of his face, but that was the beginning of this powerful ministry.
By the way, on the website, you could also get, if you're interested, The Chasm, and learn some things about how you talk to these executives. Your book, I'm sure, is in the bookstores. Do you have a website that you do anything on to try to help people learn how to more effectively witness? Because I want to help you inspire people.
Oh, yes. It's victoria.com, and I spell my name Y-A at the end. So it's V-I-C-T-O-R-Y-A. Otherwise, you get Victoria's Secret.
There's how you should spell it.
Yes, and I do help Christians break into Hollywood and those become excellent, but my passion also is to just help people be all God wants them to be. And, you know, Hollywood has been our mission field. Everybody has a mission field, but when you walk out the door of your home, the minute you open your doors, wherever you are in this country, that's your mission field. And God has a mission field for all of us. And yes, I want you to be able to tell your story of what God's done for your life. And that's why we wrote the book.
And it is absolutely excellent. And I'm telling you, this is one of the things that when I go to a big church, Betty and I do, Gateway. We have a lot of people there. And I can always assure you, anytime I speak to them, I'm going to challenge them to be witnesses. I mean, you know, we have thousands and thousands of people there every week. Every single one of them can be a witness. But here's the thing, Betty, I think it's critical people understand. We're not sent out to convert them. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. We are sent out as witnesses, and we begin by loving them where they are, right where they are. And when they know we love them, it's like Victoria said, they don't care how much you know till they know how much you care. That's true on the mission field. It's true anywhere in the world. Would you say thanks to these two wonderfully gifted people who've taken a difficult divine assignment very seriously and, I think, effectively. You know, what we're doing, and you love it, Have you ever heard about dancing shoes? Some people have them. And people kind of laugh at me when I sing or if they watch me try to dance. It's pretty funny. When we get to heaven, you're going to listen to me sing. You understand that? Because I am going to sing. I might even do a little dance that would be right in step. But you're going to see a miracle with a child that saw love expressed, what we call Christmas shoes. You're going to like this. I'm asking you to give as many pairs of shoes as you can to put on these beautiful, beautiful feet of these beautiful children. Thank you. Thank you for your help. I don't know if you could make a pair of shoes that would put me in that rhythm, but I would like that. Now, do you not just love that? Don't you just love to see a little child? That may be the first pair of shoes they've ever had. It likely is. So many of the children that Betty and I have looked at, we've seen feet that were so covered with abrasions or cuts or infection. And we've actually seen children dying of hookworms that got into their bloodstream by coming in through the cuts in their beautiful little feet. And so what happened is someone came to us and said, James, I can get these shoes, and versions of them are quite popular all over the civilized world. And he said, I can get them for $3.60 a pair. I can get them in all the sizes. And why don't we give them to children for Christmas? And so we thought it was a good idea because we saw what, you know, the infections were doing to children. And we always bring to you something that we believe is very worthwhile, but it's also doable. It's meaningful. And it's a way to share in a visible way that everyone can relate to the love of God, the compassion of God. And so we said, would you do it? And you loved it. Now, we start way ahead of Christmas, but we want to get 200,000 pairs. And Betty, I'm praying we'll go beyond that. But, you know, think about this, $36, and we've got 10 pairs of shoes. Multiply that by four, for 40 children, it's $144. There's not a single person watching that couldn't say, all right, you know, I can give a pair of shoes. I can give 10 pair. Would you do that? I mean, would you dial the number right now? Just go to the phone or go online. You can go to lifetoday.org and just say, I want to give shoes. And tell us what God put on your heart. Take your bank card, use it like a check, or if you write a check, make it to Life. But call us and tell us that you're sending it. And then remember this, we also want to give smiles. We want to do cleft palate surgery, facial surgery where children need help. And that averages $500 because of the doctors and surgeons that are committed to help us. So we're asking you to pray about giving $1,000. Let's give two surgeries, all right? And we're going to send you something that I think you're going to treasure. We want to send you the beautiful little Christmas shoe. It's an ornament. It will be a conversation piece. Put it prominently where when people walk in, they're going to see it. Because they're going to ask you, what is that? And you tell them, this is what I do. I put a lot of smiles on kids' faces. I put dancing shoes on them. And you know what you're talking about. We're going to send that to you. Also, if you help us with the smiles, we'll send the beautiful bronze Christian. This is actually a Romanian boy. It looks like him. And a missionary that was holding. Our daughter held the same boy, our oldest daughter, Rhonda, held him when she went there because we gave this boy who lived in the sewer, we gave him a home. So we'll send this beautiful commemorative bronze to say thank you for giving smiles. We want to bless you, but you're going to really bless some families and some children, and you could prevent them from getting very serious disease. Would you go to the phone right now and make that gift? Christmas shoes, smiles and shoes, would you do it? Thank you so much.
Poverty is a killer.
And because of it, children needlessly suffer, not only from a lack of food and clean water, but also from a lack of things we take for granted, such as a healthy smile or a simple pair of shoes. For most of these children, they've never owned a new pair of shoes. And while that may seem minor in the light of all their needs, walking with bare feet puts them at risk of life-threatening infections that could lead to crippling consequences, disease, and even death. By responding today, you can help life immediately secure and begin shipping Christmas shoes to 200,000 children around the world, just in time for the holidays. Your gift of $36 will help provide 10 pairs of shoes. A gift of $72 will help provide 20 pairs. And a gift of $144 will help provide 40 pairs of Christmas shoes for children in need. In appreciation of your gift, be sure to request our 2013 Christmas shoe ornament. This beautifully crafted, antiqued ornament is a unique reminder of your gift for Christmas shoes, a treasure to place on your tree each holiday season. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,000 or more to help provide over 275 pairs of shoes or two children with corrective cleft palate surgeries. And you may request the limited edition 50th anniversary bronze sculpture, Christian, by renowned artist Robert Summers. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
Well, Betty and I just say thanks. You know, I hope you take very seriously my challenge and charge to you to go and express the love of God. In such a simple fashion, now think about this, when you enable the missionaries to bless these little children and their families, you just open their hearts to hear about the love God has for them because they've seen it and you've made it possible. You'll be praying for Victoria and for Larry. Here are their books, How to Talk About Jesus, The Chasm Crossing the Divide Between Hollywood and People of Faith. And there is the website that you might get some information and a prayer list, or go online and find out how I can pray specifically for people in this industry. Would you say thanks to Larry and to Victoria for sharing?
Thank you.
Thank you for your witness.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. And from the depth of our heart, thank you for sharing shoes and smiles for Christmas.
Choose for my children. I can't control their choices, but I can control my responses to them.
Discovering the beauty of broken tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.